was a little boy named Johnny, and he was really misbehaving. So his mother sent him to his room for some time out. And after about 30 minutes, he came back, and he informed his mother that he had had some time to think and some time to really have a little talk with Jesus about that whole situation. The mother looked at him and said, "Well, that's really great. I'm very pleased, Johnny. If you ask Jesus to help you with your behavior, he will." He turned around and he said, "Oh, Mama, I didn't ask him to help me not to misbehave. I asked him to help you to put up with me." Laughter is good as medicine. That's what the Word of God says. So we just took our first medicine for the day. Let's read the scriptures together now. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines." May the Lord bless his word this morning. Last Sunday, we talked about revelational gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. And today, we'll talk about the vocal gifts, being prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and also the power gifts, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of working of miracles. As we talked about last week, the church in Corinth was a divided church, a carnal church. And once they received all these gifts of the Spirit, of course, they were fighting over that too. "Well, I got this gift, I got the other gift, and my gift is better than your gift." And someone sent a letter to the Apostle Paul and said, "You know, this church that you started on your second missionary journey is a dysfunctional church." I mean, it's not written that way in the Bible, but I'm just paraphrasing it for you in today's language. These people are just, they're not getting along. And so it is in response to that that the Apostle Paul writes his first letter to the church in Corinth. Now, the gift of prophecy, it's manifested when believers speak the mind of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural language, unknown to other people around us. It is not a private gift. It is not the gift. It is just one of the gifts given by God, as we read in the scriptures, for the building up, for the edification of the body of Christ. Now, there are certain circles, certain denominations that have identified that gift as an exclusive gift, or a gift that is only used to predict the future. However, the prediction of the future is not the main thrust of prophecy, though it may be present as a valid element. This is true in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Where does the authority of this gift come from? God. The prophet or prophetess doesn't have the authority. He or she speaks the mind of God. The source is revelation. God reveals himself through the prophet or the prophetess. He speaks to the congregation, to the body. Again, it's context, it's revelation, knowledge, teaching, and its purpose, it is to edify the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, we read that the Apostle Paul tells the church, us, he who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, for encouragement, and for comfort. When we prophesy, as I said, the body of Christ is edified. It is not fortune telling. As a matter of fact, the Word of God forbids fortune telling. Reading of your hands, cards, Ouija boards. I might be stepping on some toes this morning, but it's all right because I have been entrusted to teach and preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you have been involved with any mediums, spiritists, calling the dead, we need to denounce that and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. This is what it says. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls the dead. That's what his word says. We can't be messing with the devil and then dressing up on Sunday and being all saintly and passing judgment on everybody else. We either are or we're not. That's all I'll say about that. The Holy Spirit will tell you the rest. Then there's the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. And this is a God-given ability to speak in other tongues. And there should be an interpretation. That's what the Bible tells us. So other people that are around us can understand what God is saying. Then there is the gift of the interpretation of tongues. And that is having the God-given ability to interpret what has been said through the prophet or the prophetess. This is the gift of interpretation. God moves as he wills. That's why he's God. And he calls us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, to do everything decently and in order. When there is chaos and division among us, that is not of God. God is a God of unity, and God is a God of order. He likes for us to be, all of us, organized inside. When we're fragmented, we're all over the place. And psychologists have said that the way we keep our surrounding is a sign of the way things are inside of us. Now, I know there's also extremes. I'm talking about order. God is the God of order. That's what the word says. And if you don't believe it, walk outside. Look at the nature. Look at the clouds. Look at the trees. Look at the flowers. There's a season for everything. And if you don't still believe me, look at your body. There's a season, right? 13, 14, we can't wait to grow up. You know, you'll ask kids and they say, I'm 14 and a half. And then when we're 60, 70, we want to say, oh, I'm 35. But nobody would believe us because the season that our bodies are in is not 35, but 75. Because he's a God of order. And he wants order in his house, his church. He wants his body to be organized. Now, that doesn't mean legalism. We've never done it that way before. This is what it says here. We started this in 1940. Well, look around. This is 2017. Then there is the gift of faith. And the Bible talks about faith from Genesis to Revelation. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we find the definition of faith. And he says, now faith is, present tense, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As I said, faith is now, or it is in faith. Faith, someone's calling, is present tense. While hope is future tense. Faith is believing it before you see it. You understand what I'm saying? As we're praying for it, we're believing it before we see it. Faith is not passive. Faith is active. And the gift of faith is a potential in every believer. From the time we accept Jesus into our hearts, the potential is there to have the gift of faith. But it's energized once we allow the Holy Spirit to activate our lives. And at any point in our lives, we could ask for the gift of faith. It's like the prophet Jeremiah who said, even if I want to stop preaching and teaching the word of God, I cannot, because it is like fire shut up in my bones. It is active. It is alive. It's a fire. The gift of faith. It's a sudden surge of faith, usually in a crisis. It is something that helps us believe that that impossible thing can be possible. That as we are asking according to the word of God and praying in Jesus' name, it will come to pass. The word confessions come from the two Greek words, homo and logo, which means to speak the same thing that God speaks. The spoken gift of faith, confessing what God says as led by the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus' life was an example of faith. Everything he did. When the devil tempted him three times, you remember that? Book of Matthew? Over and over and over again, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. He was quoting the word of God because there's power in the word. But we have to believe it. We have to confess it. An example was the prophet Elijah. Has anybody read about Elijah in 1 Kings and 2 Kings? He was a prophet. He was a mighty prophet. And there were all these people that hated God. And they said, well, let's go see who the true God is. And Elijah said, okay. They began praying early in the morning. They had sacrifices there for the Lord. The opposite team pray and pray and nothing happened. And Elijah just waited and waited and waited. Finally, the prophet Elijah said, okay, now it's my time. And he prayed And fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. He believed. And it happened. And then we have the New Testament. A woman, we don't know her name. I don't know, maybe when you and I get to heaven, we get to meet her and we could ask her for her name, but we don't know her name. And this woman, the Bible said, had a horrible disease, a hemorrhage, for 12 long years. And the Bible says she visited a lot of doctors. Have you ever gone through anything like that? From doctor to doctor, this doctor says this, that doctor says that. This one doesn't know. More x-rays, more money, more calling into the insurance. Oh, that insurance. And the Bible says that it was to no avail. That she kept going from one doctor to the other. One day she heard that Jesus was coming to town. Now, mind you, in those days, women were just an object to be seen and never heard. They were not allowed among the men. They were not allowed to speak or touch a man in public. But this woman has seen and heard what Jesus was able to do. And it was through that power of the gift of faith, that in the midst of a crowd, she kept saying, excuse me, stepping all over, pushing people all around. I got to get to Jesus because I need a miracle. I call that desperate faith. And I love what happened afterwards. Have you read it? You know, we spend a lot of time watching the news and all that when the best news you could ever read is right here. Jesus turned around and asked the disciples, "Who touched me?" The disciples were in shock, like, "Come on, Jesus, you know better than this. This huge crowd pressing against you, and you're going to ask, who touched you?" It was that gift of faith operating in that woman. All of a sudden, timidly, she said, "I did, Lord." He turned around and said, "Your faith has made you whole." Your faith. After 12 years of hemorrhage, when doctors didn't have an answer, Dr. Jesus, the ultimate physician, had the answer. Because she dared to believe that with him, all things are possible. What a mighty faith. Then there is the gift of healing, which is really, truly connected to the gift of faith. I don't know how often you read the whole Bible. Maybe you've seen this in your readings. But the first instruction given by Jesus to the disciples was, "Go and heal the sick." Isn't that interesting? And his healing power is so awesome and amazing that he's able to heal broken hearts, broken relationships, broken bodies, broken minds, broken churches, broken families. He specializes on that. He is more than able. In the book of Exodus chapter 15, he declares, "I am the God who heals you." We can bring to him all of our brokenness, and his Holy Spirit will bring healing to us. And healing comes in a lot of different ways. Through the laying on hands, James 5 says, if there's anyone sick among you, come, lay hands, anoint the person with oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing magical about it. And he says, and the prayer of faith will bring healing to the sick person. It is his desire to mend our broken lives and bodies, to bring healing. Also, a person can be healed through someone else's faith. So many times I've had people come to me saying, would you help me pray for my brother, for my neighbor? It is biblical. They have said he doesn't have any faith, but I have more than enough faith for him. I don't know if you remember in the New Testament too, there was a man that was a paralytic, and he had some friends, some good friends, and they had heard about Jesus. And they came to him and said, you know, tomorrow at 4:00, we're going to come and pick you up. You're going to be healed. And so they came. The man couldn't walk, so they took him. He was laying on his pallet, each of them holding an end. They got to the house where Jesus was preaching, and there was a major obstacle. The place was full. They couldn't get in. And I think they were Methodists. I mean, that's not in the Bible, but I think they were Methodists. Because right away they gathered together and said, come on, let's have a committee meeting. And they came up with a plan right away. I don't think they told him the plan. But they went up to the roof of the house. They opened up this big hole. Then they took the guy up, poor guy, I can only imagine. And after they had opened the big hole, there they are holding him down with a rope on each side, and they lowered him into the house. Now imagine if you were the owner of that house. And the tiles start falling in. And you're asking, oh my goodness, I don't even have insurance. What is going on? And they were very strategic about it. The pallet fell right in front of Jesus. And the man was healed. Maybe he didn't have the faith, but his friends did. What do we learn from this story? Have friends that are filled with the Holy Ghost and mighty faith. You know, the best way to learn about the gift of faith and the gift of healing is just basically put it into practice. Pray for everybody that you know that is sick. Lay hands on them. Get some oil. Anoint them with oil. Because ultimately, the one that brings the healing is Jesus. It's not us. We're just obeying what his word says. We're just doing what he says. And again, healing can take place immediately, or healing can be a process. Healing takes place through the hands of the doctors and the medication that they send us. We just need to pray for the doctors. Before I go to a doctor, I pray for him or her. Before I take whatever medication they give me, I lay hands and I pray for that medication so that I won't have a side effects. Because, you know, if you start reading all the side effects you could have, Lord have mercy. And then there is working of miracles. And miracles are events that seem to override or contradict the so-called laws of nature. They override the natural realm. And sometimes it's hard to draw the line between the gift of miracles and the gift of healing. We can't explain how it happened. An example was in the Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea. How do you explain that? Or the sun and the moon standing still when Joshua prayed, Joshua 10, 12 through 14. Or the widow's oil that did not run out through the time of famine after the prophet prayed. Or Jesus' first miracle in the New Testament. Remember, they went to a wedding. They were having a great time. There was music. They were dancing. All of a sudden, Mary, the mother, hears. Nothing better than a wise mama. A woman of God, a woman of faith that is not moved by what she sees in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm, and is there praying. I tell my kids, you are never going to outrun your mama's prayers. Never. Mary was in tune. She knew that the time had come for Jesus to start his ministry. And so she goes to him and she says, I heard that they ran out of wine. And Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with that. Well, she didn't listen. Remember, Jesus was human but and deity at the same time. So she went to the servants and she said to them, whatever my son tells you to do, you do. They did. The water was turning to wine. And the guest at the wedding said, you saved the best for last. How did you do that? It is the best wine we've ever had. Over and over again, Jesus walked in the supernatural. All these 9 gifts were in operation during his earthly ministry. Somehow, some way, the church has walked away from the operation of these gifts. And we cannot be an effective church if these gifts are not in operation in our midst. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Touch us. Endue us with your power. Give us whatever gifts you want to give us. Use us. Teach us to live the Spirit-filled life.